Good morning. I am honored and happy to be here this morning again. I remember last time we were together, I had a good time. I had a good time with the kids. And also I had those little things you give in between classes, cheese and stuff in them. They were good too. This morning I made Dusty very nervous because I was supposed to be here at 7:30 and he didn't see me. He forget I was on Haitian Standard Time. I thank God for a church family like you. When I came last time, you blessed me with love, friendship. You accept me even that was the first time most of you have met me. I was enriched. And the children blessed me tremendously to the point that we had a record set this year in Vacation Bible School. That also was a huge blessing. And consequently, today, 270 students are learning every day under those buildings because you have chosen to give. God will bless you for that. I thank you also for all the prayers, especially during the time of the hurricane, Noel. Now, Noel in French means Christmas. That was not Christmas. But thank God it's only rain, and we had our place. Our campus had water, but no water invaded our buildings, so we were safe, and we praise God for that. Last week, Wednesday, there was the banquet with our friends and new people we needed to meet over the project of the church building that we want to build for the church. I was encouraged, uplifted by the speech of Brother Joby Anders, and I was encouraged by the presence of the Boothright. I thank God because you step up on the plate, and we will do some homework. And again, this coming year, February 14 is the date that you are taking a trip to Haiti. I look forward to that. That will be a lot of fun. And I praise God for all of you for willing to make a difference in the world for the sake of Christ. This morning, you're going to turn your Bible with me on Acts chapter 13. I will only read verse 47. Acts 13, verse 47. And I am very glad and happy to see the church is very mission-minded and want to compel us to do what God wants us to do with our lives. And in verse 47, I hope you find it. It reads something like this: "For the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." This time I want to pray. Father God, I thank you for all your people that you send around the world. I thank you for Anya, I thank you for Valek that you put in Ukraine. I pray, Father, that all those students that this year will be trained will not only reach Ukraine, but they also will reach Europe as a whole. Father, bless this hour. Speak to our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you will change us today to be in agreement with you, to spend and to be spent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday was Veterans Day. As I was worshiping and was watching a video clip and see how soldiers put their lives on the line so that you and me, we can be free people, I was moved by the sacrifices. Now you may say, oh, you are not American, you are not part of it. I am part of it. Because this new world, when we talk about new world from the top of Canada all the way to the end of Tierra del Fuego in South America, the influence of the United States does not stay just in the United States. I'm not going to do history, but go back to James Monroe and you'll remember. I was touched by that. Today, it was supposed to be also a day like that for Haiti, because that's the day many soldiers in Haitian army back in 1803 put their lives in line against one of the big power at the time, France, and by the end of December, they won that battle. Through the years, they used to keep that date and honor those soldiers, honor our veteran. But in the 90s, we got one president who stopped that because he was against army. I hope the present Senate can go back with that, because it's still in our constitution, we need to have an army. Last Friday night at the National Missionary Convention, as I stood by a short-term missionary who has been going to Haiti since I was a little boy, and I'm glad he did not understand my language and that he didn't spend much time with me. Now he'll have too much stories to tell about me. But he keeps saying, I don't believe that that's you. I'm glad. That's all he knows. And he looked at the audience, he said, look at all those bald-headed missionaries. He said that those people should have been retired already, so that means the field is growing old. The church needs to do something about it. And as he was talking, I was looking at his eyes, then I look truly, I see a bunch of glass. Yeah. And I look at his, he was bald too. Really, us as a church, we need to do something about it. It's not Christian universities, though they contribute in sending people out. It's not the job of the Bible colleges, those that train people to send people out. It is the job of the church to send out missionaries. And you know, in the text that we've read, in the Old Testament, God has choose a people to be a light. And through that people, one man, Jesus Christ, will be a light to all the world. And that man, Jesus, after he died and rose, before he went back to heaven, he gave us the great commission. He asked us to pass on the message. He was talking to his apostles, and they did a good job of that. And in that text, Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey, and here is a statement that they made. And they said that the Lord has commanded us, meaning Paul, Barnabas, maybe all the people who are on him, that I have placed you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the world, or to all over the world. Now, those people have done their job. It is our turn to do our job, to pass on the message of salvation to the people around the world. Pass it on. This morning, as we are compelled to spend and to be spent, we are going to make together several decisions. And that decision will be coupled of a plea and a promise that we're going to make to God. We are going to say first to God, God, have mercy on us. Because you know, for that long time, he has called us to be a light to the Gentiles. Some of us have not done a good job of that. So we're going to tell him to have mercy on us. And we're going to tell him also that we're going to grow from a dim to a bright light. From dim to a bright light. The story is told of a guy who owned a club where people come to dance, to drink, you know, party. And it reached a point that the guy decided to sell the business to a church so that they can have church in it. But the guy owned a parakeet, and he forgot to tell the bird about his idea to sell. So one day, the parakeet come into the room and see the choir. And looks at the parakeet and says, "Oh, a new orchestra." And it looked over the pulpit and see the preacher. He said, "Oh, a new MC." And the parakeet look at the crowd and say, "Oh, the same crowd." You see, the parakeet saw the same crowd because we have not done our job properly. We have not been a light to the Gentiles. Some of us, we come to church, we sing the beautiful songs, and we pray God, we praise God, and we listen to a message. Then the benediction comes. Then we walk into a restaurant, enjoy a good meal, then we forget everything. And we go and live just like the world live. There was a gal who owned a beautiful car, and she was a Christian and has a bumper sticker on the back. It said, "If you are a Christian, honk." So they come to a stoplight and to a red light, and so she stopped. And the person behind her saw that bumper sticker, and that person honked. And she stick her head out of the window and said, "How are you blind? Don't you see the red light?" So really, we need to walk the talk. A lot of time, people see us as a bunch of hypocrites because we say one thing, we do another thing. Brothers and sisters, let's do our part to grow from dim to a bright light so that people in the darkness can see the light and they will come to it. In my country, my dad is a fisherman, or was a fisherman, and they used to fish crab. But in the village, they had a trick during the summer month to catch crab. What they do, they will put a lamp, a kerosene lamp, outside in the dark, and that the kerosene lamp, when the crab saw the kerosene lamp, they walk toward the lamp. And basically, those people are talking and they are fishing. As the crab come, they just take them and put them in their baskets. Crab come, they come and take them in their basket. You know, the Gentiles, the unbelievers out there, they are just like those crabs. It's, if we live consistently our Christian lives for Christ, they will see our light and they will come to the light. Brothers and sisters, we need to care for them. We need to invest our lives in them. And when we do that, they will come to know the Savior that you and me know, compelled to spend and to be spent. But you know, that is not always fun, because that means also you have to agree for 1 hour or 2 hours to listen to the talk of a person that saying something you are not interested in. And you know, you should not just go saying, "Uh-huh. Yeah, well, uh-huh." You need to interact with them, just listen to them, and also share with them. We're going to say also, in the compel to spend and to be spent, we're going to say this in our heart. Because all that time, God has given us the job, we have not done a very good job. So we need to say, Lord, have mercy on us. We are going to give up our earthly benefits for heavenly blessings. Giving up earthly benefits for heavenly blessings. If you read Philippians in chapter 3, verses 4 to 8, you will see that Paul gave his resume, his bio. And for a typical Jew, that was a great bio. That's any CEO would gladly to have Paul on his team. And Paul in verse 7 said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You see what he's done? Count them as loss. He agreed. He compelled to spend. And to be spent. Why? For the sake of Christ. Now, among the earthly benefits we like to enjoy is good health and good look. We want people to see that we look like that gal on TV was very, you know, and lean and, you know, skinny. And when she is on a high heel, boy. We want to look like that man, strong and muscular and... And so that people can see, we are fit. It's not. So what we do? We go to exercises. We keep a rigid discipline. When we go to buy food in the store, we look for those that don't have high calorie, those that don't have lots of cholesterol, fats, you know, so that we can be in good shape. And every morning we wake up and we go in our exercise room. We do all those things like that. We sweat because we want to stay in good shape. But we know those things look good and have good health. Those are great. But what if we split the 30-minute exercise, physical, in 15, we exercise physically. In the other 15, we take our Bible and read. What if in all the things we do for our own gain, we share that so that we can do things that will be good for the kingdom as a whole? My friend, we need to do things that will benefit the kingdom. Just recently, one young man come to visit our church. Somebody has shared Christ with him and invited him to the church. And after the sermon, he came forward. His name is Alcide Franz. Franz comes from a very deep-rooted voodoo home. In fact, he is supposed to be a witch doctor. The evil spirit has already chosen him. Almost anything that he wants, they give him. Clothes, nice shoes. I mean, he get it. But the evil spirits wants Franz to do two things. He should not go to school. He should not be a Christian. But Franz reached a point. He gave up those earthly benefits like good shoes and money when he can get it and come to Christ. You know what? People are calling him crazy. He told me, now, preacher, I used to have money to eat and... Since I've become a Christian, it's become hard. I can't find money. The other day, my boss sent me to buy something, and it cost 40, and I said, it's 60. And I said, Franz, as a Christian, you need to give up on those things. Because it's not good to do. And I talked with him for a while. Then he said, what should I do for the 20 that I steal? And I said to him, you need to give that back. He agreed he's going to give it back. But you know, Franz was famous, popular. His parents were happy with him when he was not in Christ. But now he's in Christ, you are not. He gave up those things for the sake of Christ. Just this week I met with John Matthew of India. Matthew spent many years here, earned several degrees in different universities here, but Matthew decided to went back to India to preach the gospel. His family forsake him. They say the same thing. He's crazy. He does those for the sake of Christ. Are you a physician? Well, you can still be a physician, but you can give up the six-digit salaries and go to a third world country and preach the gospel to the poor while you are taking care of their bad health. You can do that. Are you a business person? You can. Leave the business even and go to a third world and invest in people. You know, my friends, we need to give up earthly benefits for heavenly blessings. Because when you win so many people for Christ, when Christ will come back, guess what? You will be in heaven with him. And you will see a bunch of people from different colors and different heights will say, I'm here because you agreed to spend and to be spent. The third decision you're going to make this morning, and we'll say, Lord, have mercy on us. We are going to give always to the church and missions so that they may win souls. And when you do those things, you will always have the loss in mind. Give always to the church and missions with the loss in mind. Now, I was told just this week that in this state of Kentucky alone, there are 23 counties that do not have a Christian church, a Church of Christ. Not even one. That's just next door, right? We need to go to those places. We need to donate to churches that are encouraging church planting. Maybe some of you may take a group and we say, we're going to start a church. I will cut my job just for the sake of those people. Agree to spend and to be spent. You can also agree to go preaching and teaching the gospel all over the world. When you give toward those endeavors, guess what? Your bank account in heaven is only increasing. Increasing. Bigger and bigger. Can you imagine if you walk to heaven and you see all your checkbooks? I mean, the place where you register, where you spend. And you see that Jesus give you one by one those checkbook to look where you spend your money. And you see church, $5. Park, $20. Ball game, $200. I would be bad. So we need also to say, Lord, have mercy on us. We are going to get up and go to the mission field. Now, there's one thing that stunned me as I was preparing the message. I read somewhere that every Jehovah Witnesses member has to share their faith with 10 people every month. 10 people every month. Oh, excuse me, 10 hours. They have to spend 10 hours every month sharing their faith. How many hours do you spend? How many hours do I spend? Shouldn't we say, really, Lord, have mercy on me? We have not done a good job to be a light to the Gentiles. We have not brought our light to invade the darkness. And you know that Jehovah Witnesses are a growing cult everywhere in the world. I remember one time, at that time I was not married yet, I went to see my sweetheart, now my wife, and she said, don't tell her I told you that. She said, I hate those people, meaning the Jehovah's Witnesses. They come here, they make me waste my time in trying to push a gospel on me, and now they burn my food. As they were talking to her, and she was cooking, and her food burned. But you know, they are not afraid of burning your food because they want to share their faith with you. What if we were just like them, zealous, sharing our faith? We would grow like crazy. You know why? Because we have a consistent gospel, a true doctrine. Our doctrine is not changing color every day. It's the same from the time of Jesus to today. And it will remain the same because it's the true one. Please, 10 hours they grow. Now, Henry Ford, you know Henry. You heard about Henry. Some of you say, you mean we are old. Henry Ford one time had a deal with a business insurance where he paid a humongous sum of money to that insurance company. And the Detroit newspaper put the things, I mean, everybody knows about that sum of money that Ford put in that insurance company. And one of Ford's friends said, who also has an insurance company, said, why you didn't make the deal with me? And we answered him, you did not ask me. You did not ask me. You know, some people will be on their way to hell. And they will tell you why you did not tell me about your Christ. Why I'm going now to hell. Why all those things happen. Why I'm not blessed. Why I'm not in heaven with you. You did not ask them to go with you. If you did, they would go. They would go. Ask them, brothers and sisters, to go with you. Because it will be fun there. Get up and go to the mission field. And your mission field may be your next door neighbor. If he's not a Christian, go and share your faith with him. Go in your classrooms. I know you should not talk about Bible and Christ in the classrooms, but there are ways you can do it. Even in China, they find ways to preach the word. Why not here? If in China, a closed country where people will be in jail for their faith, if they caught them, they keep sharing it. Why not here in the land of the free? Isn't that the name? Please say, Lord, have mercy on me. We are going to get up and go to the mission field. And you are not going to do that tomorrow. I want you to do that today. Go to the dark places. Now, brothers and sisters, if you don't go, and if I don't go, they will die without Christ. And that's a hard thing. They will be your brother. They will be your sisters. They will be your mom. They will even be your children or your spouse. Ask them. Ask them in love. Dare pray for them. Dare pray for them. Even if that means 10 years prayer, 20 years prayer, 30 years prayer, it will change them because prayer works. We need to go, and we need to go without any hesitation. Go everywhere, anywhere, to all colors, all languages, all cultures, because God said it. Go to all ethnic groups. Preach the gospel. The people out there, they will not know Christ. But the Lord has commanded us to be a light to the Gentiles and to bring salvation to the end of the world. Let us get up and get to work. God bless you.